This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us on Failing Forward, the show where we discuss entrepreneurship mistakes and how they help us grow. My name is Audrey Raj, and with me, as usual, is Chief Explorer at Proficio, Renuka Sena. Top of the morning to you, Renu.
Morning, Audrey.
And joining us on this episode is Shiyong Tan, CEO of Bib. Good morning, Shiyong. How are you today?
Good morning, Audrey. I'm good. Thank you.
So, Shiyong, before we kick things off, maybe you can tell us a bit about Bib, and then I'll get Renu to tell us why exactly she's dragged you onto our show today.
Sure, of course. So, Bib is a sports technology company that well-known among the running communities here in Malaysia. The one main reason behind this is because of our annual Run Liga Malaysia Challenge, which is the only one event that somehow connected most of the running communities in Malaysia under one single activities. I would say it's kind of like first in Malaysia. So we connect more than hundreds Malaysian running teams, sports clubs and communities runners from both Peninsula and also Borneo together. And they have to kind of, you know, compete with each other in our challenge.
Now, Shiyong, running seems to be kind of an individual sport, but what you're doing is kind of special because you're trying to get runners to run together as teams, right?
Yes, totally correct. So basically what we do is we turn running from an individual physical activity into a team sport for all, whereby, you know, people in the team, they can, regardless whether they are senior or they are really good runners, they can always motivate and, you know, encourage new runners to join them. Keep inspiring and then, you know, keep moving forward as a team rather than measure how fast or how far you can run alone.
So one of the main reasons, Audrey, that I selected Shiyong and Bib for today is because I think, you know, you can see lots and lots of apps out there right now. And the primary purpose of most of these apps is basically, you know, to get their user base and then grow the user base. But I think that user base is, you know, another word basically for users or customers. Mm-hmm. And when you have a group of customers, it's always about how do you keep your customers? How do you keep engaging them? And in the digital world for like an app, it's actually not as easy as it would seem, right? Mm. So, you know, if you remember in the very first episode where we spoke to Mike and we talked about metrics, and Mike was talking about vanity metrics. So a lot of apps basically have vanity metrics, which they just look at downloads. But once it's downloaded, you know, for all of us, right, our phones, right? As soon as you download something, if you're not going to use it often, off it goes. Yeah. So building engagement, building communities, it's actually very important.
Okay. So Shiyong, maybe you can give us some background into Bib, you know, how you started the business and some of the pain points that you came across that led to your fail.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I'm a runner myself. I started running in high school. But of course, that is, you know, in our high school, normally we don't run that long. I'm more into like a track and field athletes and a basketball players. So I actually get a taste of both worlds, like the individual sports side and also the team sports. So until one day in my college time, my friend basically get me into distance running, which is like marathon. So you have to run marathon once in a lifetime, that kind of thing. So I started running around 13 years ago. And that time, I'm glad I have a small group of friends supporting each other with, you know, like all of us are beginners at first, and we basically train together and, you know, get started for our first 10 kilometers and then half marathons and things like that. But we realized that, you know, after a while, when people check that tick box, once they have done, let's say, a marathon, they probably don't have kind of motivations to continue to go further or to continue running. So running alone, I think, is kind of struggling. A lot of people cannot keep up. I basically lost a lot of my running friends last time when we first started. And after that, they're basically not continue anymore. So after that, when I talk to some runners, you know, I ask them one simple question: what keeps you continue doing this? And a lot of them tell us they have a group of friends. They normally, you know, organize trip, run together somewhere, exploring new places. So that give me, you know, some ideas like, hey, friends and, you know, peers within the running communities is actually very important. So we were trying to find ways how to actually keep people active, keep people running, but not giving them like rewards. You know, a lot of campaign, they were like, you know, paying you something, give you vouchers for you to run. But we're actually not looking at that, but more on like a intrinsic rewards, how we can make people feel better. How can we make people feel like want to run without like pulling their leg out of the house? So so that's basically what we're trying to solve. And moving forward a little bit, we found out by getting them friends and support groups in running, they basically can keep doing it every weekend or every few days. So that basically keep people going. It doesn't really need some extrinsic motivations like give them prizes or give them vouchers to actually get them running.
So if I can jump in to give you a user's perspective, right? So when I first met Xiong, he was obviously in, you know, one of my coaching programs, and then he joined Scale Up Malaysia. And, you know, when he explains this whole running as a team and things like that, I really couldn't fathom what is this whole thing about running as a team. And then one of our partners, Zilia, basically, she said, okay, let's all join and become a Scale Up Malaysia team. Mm. So she literally forced all of us to join and make a commitment and say, okay, we're going to do 100 kilometers in 1 month, and everybody has to contribute to that. So I was like, okay, I'm not a runner. Trust me, you know, I'm not even a walker. But, you know, I took it as a challenge because it's one of our companies, and we thought, okay, let's do this. But the key thing really that I think I learned out of that whole thing and building this community and what Xiong wants to achieve is you join as a team. Every day you see like your team members have run and they have done how many kilometers, and you're like, oh, okay, I'm letting them down, so I've got to go do something now. Right. So you force yourself to go out and walk because you're now part of a team. You know, you're going to let the team down if you don't run and you don't clock up the kilometers. And since then, basically, I mean, we finished it, you know, we kept motivating each other. We kept like jibing each other. Hello. 3 kilometers in 1 month, I'm sure you can do more than that. You know, so you kind of push everyone. Right. But you also feel this sense of, I cannot let my team down because everyone is contributing to this number of kilometers, and we have a time period, etc. So that's, you know, kind of how I learned what it is to run as a team and exactly what Xiong was trying to achieve, which is basically build it as a team sport, team spirit, and achieve something together.
Okay, so what went wrong? You know, did users not understand the concept? Was this a new concept to them? What went wrong here?
Oh, yeah. So, of course, doing something new or, you know, trying something like a new concept is basically like banging a wall somewhere, and you feel the pain, of course, when you get complaints from the users and communities. But I would say, first of all, we are prepared for changes. We are prepared for, you know, making things right. But at the same time, we also know that we are making runnings kind of complicated compared to the traditional model. You know, traditional model is just simple. There's this distance, you complete it with your fastest time, and it's done. So since we are creating these team sports, we need to create rules to actually get people to kind of like, you know, when you do assignment in a team in college, you will have sleeping members. So we are trying to like, how can we get rid of sleeping members? We don't want people to join the team without doing anything, right? So that's why we started to set rules, started to set certain frameworks so that people can follow through. And of course, it is more complicated. I don't deny and I admit that. But again, we think that, I would say, these rules will be good as a, you know, driver to keep people moving. So when the time they join in, they already have some sort of set expectations for them to participate in. So some of the experiment that we have done on the rule side that went, I don't say we went wrong, but it's kind of like attracting a lot of controversial comments, is how to calculate the team achievement. So because team come in different sizes, we have small teams, big teams. But if we measure teams by the accumulative distance, people will think, oh, this is not fair for a smaller team. But if we do it on the other way, for example, we do it by average. If you have 100 people, you run 100 km, and we divide over the members, you get like 1 kilometer average per person. So if we do it that way, of course, that will benefit smaller team because they divide lesser people, right? So that is another thing that we kind of get a lot of complaints because when teams join in, they, of course, they're trying to put their teams right at the top of the chart. So they want to ensure they actually achieve good result. And therefore, we always have different voices from different kind of team. And end of the day, we have to decide it like, okay, so this is a distance challenge. So we'll be measuring by distance instead of average. But if let's say we have different gameplay, then we will design it differently. So basically, we need to have something for different challenges and different team size rather than just lump it together and make them feel better. Because we are very strict to that. The only measurement unit will be the same across the whole events to make sure people understand. Yeah.
So Audrey, basically what Xiong was doing, right? He's coming up with a new way of organizing runs. You have running clubs and things like that, and most of them kind of run physical runs one time, they go and do it, right? Whereas this is gameplay in a sense. So I guess that in the beginning, one of the key things he set were the rules. And when he set rules, you find that from what he said, a lot of people kind of didn't like the rules because when you have sports, it's all about winning, right? Mm. It's not about being fair. And I think that what Xiong has done is actually to kind of customize each run to provide some of that fairness. Mm. While some people didn't like it, if you want to participate, you follow the rules, right?
Yeah.
Every sport has rules. And so, you know, I admire that he's, you know, in that sense, stayed the course.
Okay, we're going to need to take a quick break now for some messages. But more from Xiong Tan from BIB on Failing Forward in just a few minutes. BFM 89.9.
Because friends matter. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
This is Failing Forward on Open for Business, where we feature real-life stories from entrepreneurs who have failed and are stronger for it. This is Audrey Raj, Renuka Sena from Proficio, and CEO of BIB, Xiong Tan, are with me today. And we are just about to jump into a discussion on principles. Now, is this going to be a heavy one, Reno?
So I think that, you know, there's a lot of companies out there, especially those in the social impact space, right, who are trying to change the world. And in changing the world, basically, it's about redefining how people do things, how they see things, and how they act. And to a large extent, that's what Xiong's trying to do. He's basically trying to make runners think about running not as an individual sport, but as a team. But there's a lot of controversy around this, you know, and going back to users and how you engage them and things like that. It's always about, do you consistently please your customer? I mean, is the customer always right, so to speak? And do you change your ways to please them? Or do you stay true to your principles because you have a larger vision? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Xiong is out to do. You know, he wants to stay true to the principle. But in doing that, I think there was a lot of flack that he received over time, and probably Xiong's best can tell us what that is.
Yeah, Xiong, give us some background into this.
Okay, so first of all, I would say normally event organizers or as a platform, we don't reject participant or we don't disqualify participant as an organizer. But in our case, we are basically well known in that field, as in we disqualify people because, of course, with some reason, a solid reason. So if they're violating the rules for fair competitions, we disqualify them because that basically causing issues to other participants. For example, this is a running challenge, and if this guy is actually riding on a motorbike, you know, touring around the city, then of course that is, I would say, violating the rules. Why? Is because this is considered cheating your own team members and cheating the system at the same time. So, I mean, just to share some fun story, you know, motorbike is just not the only transportation we have recorded. The furthest we got is actually from KLIA to Bangkok. So people actually recording it on the flight. So we were surprised with that, wow. You know, just to get more mileage to their team.
Wow, you must have some excellent prizes, you know, if they're willing to cheat that way, take a flight to win.
But how can you tell, Xiong? Is it because, like, you know, it's like there's no way people could have completed that number of kilometers in a short period of time? Is your app tracking that?
Yes. So basically, we do have certain rules because we know what a human limit is. So there are certain rules that are being set so that we can screen out all these so-called fraud activities committed by the participants.
Now, I don't see why this is a problem, Xiong, because you're basically setting the rules to ensure fair game. But what was your experience with creating these rules, and why did you have to stick to your principles?
Oh, yes. So, of course, the rules is rules, but sometimes when we disqualify people, it kind of like put people, I mean, we make them like losing their face among their friends. I think that is a very emotional one that somehow trigger anger from the participants or even their teammates. Because if, for example, this, Mr. A is cheating, let's say for 3 days, and we finally caught him on the fourth day. But within that 3 days, he might be bragging around within the team like how well he did. But when we caught him, of course, he's suddenly losing face. People say, hey, is it true? Do you really, you know, cheating us as a team? Then suddenly we put this participant in a very awkward position. And of course, sometimes to defend themselves, this rarely their team to actually, you know, attack us on Facebook, attack us on our social media page, just to kind of like force us to reinstate their status as a participant. So, of course, that hurt a lot from the business perspective, because when people look at it, you say, oh, is it this organizer are not, not doing a good job? But again, end of the day, we will need to, you know, liaise with the participant, show them the proof, saying that, sometimes we give them a challenge. So, do you want to accept this or you want us to make it public to actually clear our name? So, normally with that, people will be, you know, they were quiet, they won't challenge it anymore.
So, Audrey, basically, you know, I think, you know, to summarize this from a business perspective, right, and the lesson that I wanted to actually put out there. So, in today's day and age, right, whether it's an app or whether it's a service or whether you're doing something on the web, right, everybody kind of goes to social media to air their grouses, right? And when airing their grouses, right, you basically, when you put it out in social media, you obviously have your own set of customers or your own users, right, who are part of this community online. But you also have so many keyboard warriors and, you know, trolls and, you know, all of these random people out there. And for a brand, right, to have this kind of negative comments online, you find that, you know, it affects the perception of the brand, meaning that current customers will think, oh, they do this, you know, or you have potential customers who happen to read about it now have a completely negative view of the brand because there are all of these negative comments that are coming up. So in today's day and age, because of social media and because all of these comments can be so negative, it's actually very important to monitor these comments. You must have someone who is actually monitoring comments, who is actually responding to comments, because response, quick response, is actually very, very important in social media, right? To actually either own it or to defend it or to explain it. The best way to do that also is that, you know, you kind of DM the person perhaps, or you in defending yourself, you actually say, these set of rules are important because of X, Y, Z, and we want to provide the integrity of the system, etc. So I think from Xiong's perspective, because these are primarily individuals coming together as a team, to actually then respond may actually alienate not just that small group of people, but the entire team, because it affects the team, right? But I think, you know, one of the things, you know, Xiong can tell us just after this is when these kind of keyboard warriors go online and the small voices always are the loudest voices, right? And then they you never know how that's going to go. So when those kind of things happen, the nice thing that you can see, or you know that your brand is doing the right thing, when you have your own users or third parties coming in and defending you, you know, and kind of shaming these guys with fraud. Because in sports, integrity is so important, right? You want to win because you have put in the effort and you are that good. And I think it tarnishes the reputation of the game. So maybe, Xiong, you can tell us, you know, how, you know, what some of these comments were and how, you know, your own users actually jumped in to defend you.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, we had a very memorable one, especially I think last year. It's actually in one popular Facebook group among runners. So what happened was this guy that we disqualified, he actually wanted to get attention from the communities, you know, want to raging out like his emotions in the group by pointing fingers to us for, you know, disqualifications. It's actually a very happy ending because we see, like, you know, so many runners, based on their experience, participate in our challenge. They are basically defending us without us saying anything. So basically, these runners, they are kind of like pushing this person, hey, if you say you are doing it right, why not you share a result there so that everybody can have a look? Because based on their experience with BID, we are actually upholding the integrity really well, and we don't basically disqualified without a proper reason. So I think that is something that make us feel like all our effort in the past few years actually not gone wasted, and we will continue to do that to actually uphold this fair competition and sportsmanship among the participants.
Yeah, in a case of a brand, right, especially a brand that, you know, is very visual or very visible in social media, I think it's also important that in the case of Xiong, it's about fraud detection and, you know, disqualification. And I think people have to be brave enough when there is something that you stand for and you feel that, you know, as a business, it's very important to me that I am seen as having this integrity, that my brand is seen as holding to high standards, then you shouldn't compromise those standards to please the small voices. And it's not easy. In Xiong's case, it was a happy ending because his own customers and users jumped in to support him. But in some cases, you literally have to make those decisions to cut it off and say, these are not my customers, because it does affect business. And, you know, that leads me into the, you know, how does it affect business? Because nowadays you see more and more people talking about the so-called ESGs, right? Environment, social and governance. And what Xiong is doing in terms of setting the rules and things like that isn't the governance factor, making sure that the integrity is paramount. And it affects business because as an event organizer, his customers or people who pay him are actually sponsors, right? So when a sponsor looks at, you know, do I want to sponsor a run? Do I want to organize a run and give this company money? Then they have to be comfortable about the fact that, you know, they as a brand associated with BIB, right, will not get this backlash. And so that's going back again to how do you deal with these things? Because if you don't monitor, if you don't respond, if you don't stand for your principles, and you don't actually verbalize that this is who I am and this is how I stand, you will not be doing yourself any favors. And I think a lot of people who are building brands actually need to be very clear about their brand positioning. What do I stand for? And consistently have actions that support that integrity statement.
Some really important lessons there, Reno. Thanks for that. Now, before we wrap up, Shiyong, can I just get you to talk to us about what BIB is up to today and what are plans for 2022? You know, it's happening in just 2 months' time.
Oh, sure. So this year, we are actually quite proud to be the official platform to host one of the largest mass participation event in Malaysia, which is the Penang Bridge International Marathons. The registration already started. It's free. You may join as a team or you can join as individuals. So with that, we welcome all of you to join the fun together with us. And meanwhile, we also open up our 2022 timeline to help organizations, SME and corporate to create their own inclusive sports league. So if you're interested to actually host one for your companies or for your communities, do reach out to us and mention BFM Feeling Forward and we might give you a discount. So you can log on to www.getbib.com, getbib.com, to actually get in touch with us.
All right. And I think on that note, I will thank both of you for joining me on the show today. Of course, once again, thank you, Renuka Sena, CEO at Proficio, and of course, CEO of BIB, Shiyong Tan. And if you like the content that you just heard, there's a whole list of Failing Forward episodes available on our website. That's bfm.my. You can also find all our episodes on the BFM app that's available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. My name is Audrey Raj, and this has been Failing Forward on Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.